Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to the final On the Double with the Double S Express. No, not forever, but for 2013. As 2013 comes to a close in a mere couple, one evening, I guess. That would be tomorrow. And this is show 33, 33 shows here in 2013. Sean Boyd, it's been a good year.
Man, you, bringing that to my attention, yeah, the last show of the year. Where has the time gone? I mean, you know, we've been having so much fun, and you mentioned 33 episodes. Or 33 shows, and man, we're just moving right along.
And let's waste no time and go right out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight. That is Ian Furness of The Furness Show, Sports Radio, KJR 950 in Seattle. Ian, thanks so much for hopping on with us tonight.
Guys, thanks for the invite. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, Ian, we'll get right into it, my man. There was a big game in Seattle yesterday, of course. The St. Louis Rams in town taking on the Seattle Seahawks. You know, the last game of the season, a lot of times, you know, coaches want to rest their players and, you know, get them prepared for the playoffs. This wasn't that case yesterday, though, and it was kind of a sketchy game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, and Seattle couldn't rest anybody. They had to win, and as it turned out, because the Niners won in the last play of the game, they really had to win to get home field advantage and get the first round bye and all those things that came with the NFC West title. So, you know, it was a contentious game, I guess, would be the best way to put it. St. Louis showed up. They had a lot of emotion. They had nothing to play for except for, you know, the proverbial pride that they played hard. They played hard. They played with emotion. It was a chippy game. There were a ton of penalties, a lot of talking after the whistle. But I think what we saw was Seattle's defense, again, is the best defense in the NFL, top to bottom, front to back. And the offense did enough in the second half to get a win.
Now, you'd mentioned the emotions, you know, kind of tempering the emotions. Of course, there was a play yesterday. I believe that involved Ricardo Lockett and I believe the helmet coming off at some point. Can you describe to our listeners what went on there?
Well, the play I think you're referring to, Ricardo Lockett, was a gunner on the punt coverage team, and the kid's name is, I think, Fortune. He was in Seattle's camp, but you know, Lockett hit him right when the ball got there. It was one of those hits, if you look at it in real time, you go, wow, what a monster hit. And then if you look at it later, you go, well, it wasn't, you know, he didn't really hit him as hard as you thought he did. He just got there right when the ball did and kind of went up and over him. But I don't know if that set things off, but you know the Rams responded afterwards. They took a personal foul penalty on that. There was no hit on the bad hit on the play, but that kind of started it off, and then it just kind of went from there. And the Rams were frustrated. They're a team that plays with pride under Jeff Fisher. They played a little bit out of control at times, but you know you get that. I understand that. You know, Seattle was playing for more than St. Louis was, but for Seattle, the big thing was find a way to win, get the win. Get the bye this week, get home field advantage, get out of there as healthy as they could, and for the most part they did that. They lost backup tight end Luke Wilson to a high ankle sprain. We'll see if he's able to play in the first playoff game in a couple weeks, but for the most part they did what they had to do.
And yeah, you know, injury, that was the key, is making sure that they were injury-free. You know, sometimes you wonder with these divisional games, St. Louis is definitely looking for a rival in the division. Do you think it was their opportunity to you know, maybe, you know, kind of put that stamp on the Seattle-St. Louis rival?
I think what you have, fellas, is I think you have four teams that don't like each other in the NFC West, and four teams that have really good, very physical, intimidating defenses. And when you have all those things combined, doesn't matter if it's St. Louis, Seattle, Arizona, the Niners, Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis. It doesn't matter what combo you come up with. You're going to have really that type of game that we saw last night. And that's what we had. And it's that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a rivalry. There's nothing wrong with teams not liking each other. And I thought, you know, for the most part, and really that, this division's been that way for a couple of years now. I think since Harbaugh arrived, it's been that way. Bruce Arians, Jeff Fisher have proven themselves as terrific coaches in the NFL. And so between those two guys, Harbaugh and Carroll, you've got great coaching, good young teams. All these teams are fairly young. The Niners are a little bit older, and maybe on the defensive side, so are the Cardinals. But, you know, Seattle and St. Louis are kind of mirror images of each other in some ways in terms of the young defenses. You know, Seattle's ahead of the game because the offense is better, and Seattle's better on the back four in the secondary. But you have rivalries all through this division. This is a division, I always say this, if these four teams were called the NFC East or the NFC North as opposed to the NFC West, we'd be hearing a lot more about them.
Ian Furness, kind enough to join us, the host of the Furness Show on Sports Radio KJR 950 AM in Seattle. And Ian, some intriguing news came out of Renton and Seahawks headquarters this afternoon, where Coach Carroll played the Percy Harvin card.
Yeah, he surprised everybody. You know, he went down the road of, hey, Percy's going to practice with us on Thursday, and with the expectation he's going to play on Saturday the 11th at 1:30 when they kick it off for the playoffs, and that shocked everyone. I think it was one of those, he says that he can drop the mic and walk away if he wanted to at that point, because everyone thought Percy Harvin was destined to go on the IR, and that didn't happen. In fact, now it looks like Harvin's going to play, and he's a difference maker. He's one of a handful of guys in the NFL that you have to account for him when he's on the field and what he's going to do and where he's going to be. The monster, surprising announcement from Pete Carroll. Frankly, I was always shocked. On the other station in our town, his local radio show he has every Monday, he insinuated this morning that Percy was destined for the injury reserve list. So it was a shock. It was surprising. There's no doubt. And so, you know, it's a huge boost for Seattle. If Harvin's indeed able to play in that playoff game, heck, even if it's just one game, he's a difference maker. But it was, I'd say, stunning news.
Do you think that was part of the plan all along, or this just came to fruition recently where he's feeling better and the pain's subsided? You're around the team a lot. What do you think's going on there?
Well, I think he's been working out. I think one of the things that happens is that, you know, those of us in the media that are out there and covering the team and watching practices and you know, what we can report, well, you know, we can't say everything we see during practice, but, you know, he hasn't been practicing with the team. We haven't seen him, but, you know, they've got a big facility. They've got an indoor facility. We're not there all the time. And behind closed doors, I think he's been working out. And I think, you know, he got to the point where he's been cleared. You know, this is one of those things where there's a lot of conspiracy theorists in our town. And, you know, we've all been kind of talking about it on our show and everywhere else. The bottom line is this. They're not going to let him play unless he can play, unless health-wise he can play. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And so, you know, he's obviously got to a point where he's healthy enough to get into the lineup. And they're going to give it a go. And if he can play one playoff game and make a difference in one playoff game where you're one and done, that's enormous. I mean, that's absolutely enormous for this football team. And so I think that, you know, the plan maybe was, I mean, Pete Carroll said it wasn't the case, but I think the plan easily could have been what you guys just said, and that is, yeah, he wasn't, you know, we kind of wanted to save him. He played the game against Minnesota. I talked to him after the game. We did our TV stuff with him, and he was saying, you know, Percy was saying, hey, I'm fine. I feel great. And we're all excited. And then, you know, 3 days later, he's not practicing. We haven't seen him on the field since. If you said, hey, you know, the whole plan was to basically save him for the playoffs, even though Carroll denies it, I think whether it's gamesmanship or what have you, I think that could have been the case.
Ian Furness, host of the Furness Show on KJR 950, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Ian, you had mentioned just, you know, the savviness of Pete Carroll, and I'm thinking that it's just that. Mentioning Percy Harvin coming in, Seattle ranked 26th in the passing category in the NFL. Not a great recipe for success, especially when you're making a run for the Super Bowl. Do you think this is some gamesmanship of Pete Carroll? I believe it is. You know, going into the playoffs, that they're going to use more of Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I don't know the number off the top of my head. I guess I should. I don't know the number, but they were they're a top five, top three rushing team. So the passing numbers are going to be down. They want to throw first, second, third anyway. I mean, that's who and what they are. That's the makeup of this football team, is that they're a throw first team. So you know, that part of the equation is not a surprise in terms of how, you know, what they want to do offensively. You know, I think maybe with this, look, Percy Harvin takes pressure off Marshawn Lynch. There's no doubt about that. He also takes pressure off of Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin. And they're woefully thin at the wide receiver position right now. It's Baldwin, it's Tate, and it's really nobody else. Sidney Rice out for the year. He's got a, you know, he had an ACL injury. And so with him being done, you know, that put them in a precarious situation. And so, you know, I think with, you know, when it's, you know, Percy Harvin helps them. He makes them a better football team. And as such, as a better football team, you know, they got a better chance to do what everyone expects them to do, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
Ian, you mentioned your TV work. So in addition to hosting the Furness Show on Sports Radio 950 KJR, you are a reporter for Seahawks Game Day on Q13 Fox in Seattle with Aaron Levine, who's also been a big-time guest here with us on the show. And I'm curious, which do you like better? Do you have a preference? I mean, you've done radio for a very long time, and now you're doing some TV there and also with Root Sports.
I like it all, to be honest. I'm lucky in this business. I mean, you know, you guys know that. The more you do, the better, the more fun you have doing it. And I'm very lucky and very blessed because, you know, I get to cover my hometown NFL team and do some TV stuff with them and, you know, and then host a daily radio show. I like doing it all. I love doing the play-by-play. We do hockey play-by-play on Root Sports. And, you know, so it keeps you busy and, you know, keeps you out of trouble, I guess.
Now, Ian, getting back to the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs, January 11th, is there a team that were you hearing from any of your listeners today or on Twitter that, you know, maybe they're a bit leery of the 49ers again or maybe Aaron Rodgers? What are you hearing from the fans?
Well, I think all due respect to the AFC, is probably, you know, it's Denver and kind of everybody else. And maybe New England is a number two in that mix. So maybe it's Denver, New England, and everybody else. In the NFC, there's no gimme. I mean, there just isn't a gimme. You know, Philadelphia's got the Chip Kelly offense, and they're rolling. I mean, I think it's safe to say now Nick Foles is you know, got that thing down as a real deal. So they've got that going on. And you know, Carolina has the second-best defense in the NFL statistically behind Seattle. You know, Seattle beat them earlier this year in a slugfest in the first game of the season. That would be a tough out. You know, New Orleans is an interesting matchup because they came to Seattle for Monday Night Football and Seattle whacked them, you know, and they knocked them around pretty good. And Drew Brees, everyone knows statistically, he's not the same quarterback on the road as he is at home. So, you know, I think, and the Niners are the Niners. I mean, you know, Rodgers is terrific and there's an animosity there because of Monday Night Football a year ago. And if Aaron Rodgers gets to Seattle, which, you know, if they beat the Niners, that's probably what will happen. I think it's safe to say Aaron Rodgers with two games under his belt will be a scary team to face. Plus, they got a running game, and they got a little chip on their shoulder. They feel like they got wronged last year with a Golden Tate catch in the last play of the game on Monday Night Football. And the Niners, I don't even have to say anything about them. They're just good, and that rivalry speaks for itself. So, there's no easy game in the NFC. Whatever team comes out of the NFC and gets to the Super Bowl is a really good football team and really had to earn it.
Ian, in your illustrious sports broadcasting career, do you have any top moments off the top of your head? Favorite interviews, favorite games you've been at? What sticks out to you?
Oh, wow. I worked in Salt Lake for a while. NBA Finals were fun. I don't know. I don't think you can top the NFL playoffs. I really don't. I've had a chance to cover a number of NFL playoff games. And, you know, last year Washington was spectacular. The comeback from Seattle and even the game they lost in Atlanta was fun. You know, it's hard to pick one out. I mean, NFL playoffs, I would just put in the general rule. They're the best. It's the best time of the year. It's the most fun. It's the most intense. It's the most unpredictable. That's what's fun about the next couple weeks coming up. They're very unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. I'd say it'd be really hard to pick anything out in that regard. I guess just in general, it's the NFL playoffs probably.
Ian Furness, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Ian, one last question. So predictions, of course, Seattle being the team to beat in the NFC. You had mentioned the Carolina. That's probably the most intriguing matchup for me, just for the reason that you said. For one, it was a 12-7 contest at the beginning of the season. Seattle being on top. And, of course, Carolina beating San Francisco. They're not a team that's under the radar, but at the same time, you know, the old adage is that defense wins championships. You know, of course, the NFC being a tough juggernaut, I'm looking at Carolina and Seattle in that NFC championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the 1 and 2 seed, so that would be the obvious one. Let's see what Cam Newton does in the postseason. I think that's the one thing that's going to be interesting. You know, Colin Kaepernick's been there, last year had a terrific postseason. So, you know, the Niners are a tough one in that regard. Russell Wilson's been there and has played 2 playoff games. He's 1-1. Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl title to his name. So, you know, he's gone down that road. You know, Philadelphia kind of untested, like Carolina. I think those are the 2 teams that are kind of the wild cards. They're untested in terms of the postseason, you know. And so, you know, Cam Newton and, you know, I guess Steve Smith says he's going to play. That's huge for Carolina, no doubt. But I think, you know, we'll see if playoff experience means anything. I don't know how you can ever bet against Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you, but they did lose last year on the road. That game on Sunday with Green Bay and San Francisco is going to be something else. 2 teams that played each other last year. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it'll either be the 6th or 7th time that the franchises have met in the postseason. So that's going to be crazy. You know, Carolina's a great unknown. I'll tell you this. I know everyone loves Carolina. The defense is really good. There's no doubt about that. Their front 7 might be as good as any front 7, you know, outside of the NFC West, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if the front 7 is the same level as the front 7 in Arizona, San Francisco, or Seattle, but it's really good. But let's see what those teams do, you know, as far as, you know, having that being tested in the postseason.
Ian, thanks for being on the show on the Double with the Double S Express, man. We love having your expertise in talking football, and maybe sometime down the line we'll have you on. We'll talk a few more Seattle sports or Northwest sports. For those of you who want to catch up with Ian, you can catch up with him at Ian at 950kjr.com, the host of the Furness Show from 12 to 3 for our Northwest listeners on Sports Radio KJR and 102.9 FM. Also, Seahawks Game Day Reporter, and Q13. Man, you do it all, my friend. And thanks for being on the show.
Guys, thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Ian, thanks so much for your time.
Anytime.
That's Ian Furness again, host of the Furness Show from 12 to 3 on Sports 950 KJR in Seattle. So when we come back, we will have more sports for you. We'll talk a little bit of the NFL. A lot going on as far as the coaching carousel. We'll talk more about players, the whole nine. You are listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd.
and they say, you know, Black Friday is great for businesses and great deals for the shoppers, but not Black Monday in the NFL.
Oh, no. By no means is this the fun time of the year, especially if you're a team that's at 500 or under 500. We knew that there were going to be a couple of changes in the NFL. We just didn't think that it would be this drastic, this fast. And it started out first thing in the morning with the, you know, the Cleveland Browns saying goodbye to their coach. And, you know, we kind of, you know, actually that one's a little bit of an enigma to me because, you know, he's in his first year and, you know, you would think that, you know, maybe he would get another chance, you know, because this is a new team. And of course there have been some changes, but Cleveland wasted no time as far as letting him go.
Yeah. And it's amazing that Chud Zinsky is gone after one season. And a lot of the players, if you've seen on Twitter, various articles out there online about the Browns, a lot of the players were upset. They said, are you kidding me? I can't believe this. This can't be true. There's no way he's doing things right. We need stability. You know, if you look at the other side of the coin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've had, what, three coaches in the last 30 years? And look at the success they have had. And here the Browns keep hitting the reset button year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, and with these types of teams, the teams that do that, you know, all you're creating is you're creating indecisiveness. You're creating, as you're saying, that fear of what if. And, you know, for Cleveland, it seemed like at one point they were trying to get things bonded together. I know there's a couple of injuries at the quarterback position. Of course, the release of Richardson going to the Indianapolis Colts, running back going to the Indianapolis Colts. But with all of that being said, I mean, it's still, you know, a first-year coach in Chudzinski. Gosh, say that three times fast. And, you know, the players love him in the locker room. And so, Sean, there's a big disconnect as far as the ownership and the coaches, and that's what Black Monday is all about.
And it's interesting to note that the Haslams that are the new owners of the Browns have, I don't even know if they've been in place an entire year yet. They hired Chudzinski, and now they sent him packing after only 11 and a half months. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, find me any coach that can have as many quarterback injuries, take your number one running back and trade him to the Colts, and, you know, your star wide receiver is out the first two games because he's suspended. And let's see who's going to have success.
Good point. And so, you know, with young ownership, you know, you make, you know, I won't say bad choices, but, you know, there are choices that probably aren't, you know, the greatest thing for the, you know, for the program long term down the line. And of course, you know, there was big question marks for my team in Alameda, you know, the Oakland Raiders, trying to figure out if Dennis Allen was going to stay around. And, you know, I've been answering a lot of questions all day, and the biggest thing that I came up with was Dennis Allen and Reggie McKenzie, along with Mark Davis for that matter, are married together. And, you know, for, you know, this is 3 years that they're going to be, you know, in this progression or this development or revamping of the system. And it takes time. You know, of course, you know, we're in this instant success, you know, day and age to where we want things to happen now, and shoot, Kansas City Chiefs didn't make things any better when, you know, Andy Reid comes over and that team becomes an instant success. But there's a lot to be said with standing pat and laying the foundation, because I truly believe at some point things are going to click and your team will be better for it in the long run.
Well, Sean, I'm sure you've already seen this, and we can tell all of our Raider Nation faithful that according to our good buddy and big-time guest Vic Tafer, who writes the Silver and Black blog for the SF Chronicle, Raiders coach Dennis Allen said he has been given indications he will be back, and that was today at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, you know, and to add on top of that, you know, I was talking with Vic yesterday down on the field, and, you know, he had mentioned just that, and that, you know, we both looked towards the, you know, towards the tunnel, and as I was coming out of the tunnel, I saw Dennis Allen, and he was talking with a couple of assistant coaches with the Denver Broncos, and he didn't look like a guy that had a worry in the world. And, you know, when I talked with Vic, you know, that was one of the things that he said. More importantly, what just came out a little bit ago was Mark Davis actually confirming that Dennis Allen is going to stay around and kind of made it the media's deal. And that's kind of something that dad used to do, Al Davis. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, the media is the one that put Dennis Allen on the chopping block. That wasn't anything that I came up with. And so, you know, it sounds like these guys are moving forward and they understand that these are some tough times. And what do you expect, Sean Wally? I mean, you know, these guys, meaning the Oakland Raiders, gutted their team. And, I mean, they got rid of huge salaries. We're talking about Richard Seymour getting released, Tommy Kelly being released, Michael Huff, who had a big-time contract as well. You know, they got rid of a lot of that garbage that was holding the team down. And, of course, the Raiders were trying to, you know, they were reeling from the whole Carson Palmer deal with Hugh Jackson. So what they're doing is they're cleaning house. It's going to take a little bit of time. And, you know, we knew that the year was going to be this bad, and I'm talking as a Raider fan right now, but doggone it, looking at it made it worse. And, you know, but then in the end, when you take a deep breath from it all, these are the types of things that happen. And I'm grateful that the Raiders stood pat with their coaching staff, because just like Chijinski, you know, the Raiders really love Dennis Allen in the locker room.
Raider Nation, if you want to call and give your opinion on your team and whether or not Dennis Allen should be back, or you want to talk anything NFL, give us a call, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, to be on the double with the Double S Express. And Sean, staying with your Raiders for just a few more moments. As most coaches do throughout the league, you met with the majority of the team and met with Lamar Houston, the defensive end, and assured him that the Raiders want the free agent back, saying, quote, he fits in our system. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because Lamar came out just as late as yesterday and told the media that he wasn't sure that the Raiders wanted him back. And I thought that that was, you know, peculiar. And, you know, as I thought about it, I'm thinking, you know, old habits die hard. And so what he's seen is he's seen a lot of his defensive line buddies over the past couple of years get released. Of course, I had mentioned Tommy Kelly and Richard Seymour. And so he's thinking because he didn't have as great of a year as he thought, then they weren't going to bring him back. But the Raiders reassured that he is definitely one of the, you know, the cogs for the Oakland Raiders. And so all they need to do is add another pass rusher. And of course, the Raiders being at number five in the draft, that's probably one of the, you know, their early picks, going to be one of their early picks as a defensive lineman or a pass rusher.
Staying with Black Monday and more coaches that were let go today, and there were quite a few of them. How about the drama that is the Washington Redskins? You know, HBO has its preseason series Hard Knocks. It's fantastic. The Washington Redskins could be on daytime soap opera TV with all the drama going on there as Mike Shanahan was let go today.
Yeah, but you know what, Sean? You know, we can't say that we didn't see this coming. This has been something that's been going on for a while. Ever since last year when the Washington Redskins played the divisional championship game against the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, RG3, you know, had the injury, and they thought, well, maybe they should have pulled RG3 out. That was the beginning of that apex, actually, of the end of Mike Shanahan and everything that he stood for. And he spent a whole offseason trying to clear his name. And, you know, we had talked also about RG3 not being, you know, innocent in this whole deal. He played a part in it. So while Shanahan's trying to clear his name, RG3 did nothing to keep himself out of the limelight. And Dan Snyder, let's face it, is just Dan Snyder. You know, he allowed all of this to happen. And now, you know, he wants to play the bad guy as far as, you know, letting Shanahan go. But the damage is done. You know, think about this, Sean. You have a quarterback in RG3 that you benched for the last three games of the season. So that, for what? So that you can play Kirk Cousins, who maybe you thought was your guy. And what did we see from Kirk Cousins the past couple of weeks? Absolutely nothing. And so for Mike Shanahan to try to posture himself as making these right decisions, he made the locker room worse. Dan Snyder is wrong for allowing these two, meaning Shanahan and RG3, to have such a visual feud in front of the whole world, and it's going to be a long time, I believe, before the Washington Redskins recover from this.
Yeah, anytime your quarterback is buddy-buddy with the owner more than you are as the coach, you got a little problem there.
Yeah, you know, and taking nothing away from RG3, the football player, because I think he is a tremendous player. I think that also RG3, I don't know this personally, but, you know, on the outside looking in, RG3 seems like a great person. But there were just some decisions that he was making as a young professional athlete that I don't think he saw would be detrimental to the team. And what it wound up doing was, RG3 cared about RG3's brand, and he wanted to make sure that he put a staple on that, and it overshadowed what they truly wanted to do, and that was to go out and have a successful season and win football games.
Another coach that saw the axe fall today is down in Tampa Bay. Greg Schiano woke up thinking he was going to be moving forward as the coach of the Buccaneers, but then he got to the office and things changed.
Yeah, so you're looking at, you know, all these things that have happened with Coach Schiano, and you know, he brings that Rutgers mentality to the, you know, into professional football. We thought that this was something that could happen at the end of the season, especially after, you know, the torrid breakup between he and quarterback Josh Freeman. You know, again, this was one of these coaches that, you know, we saw this coming. But it seemed like the team did rally late in the season and they were starting to adhere to a little bit of the discipline. And, you know, on the other hand, it makes you wonder, you know, what the coach is looking for or what the ownership is looking for in their next coach.
Yet another coach fired today. It was not a good day for the NFC North as Leslie Frazier in Minnesota is now looking for work.
Man, Leslie Frazier, I mean, you know, he's paid his dues, you know, as far as, you know, coaching is concerned. And, you know, you talk about another organization that's been hit by injury after injury. And, of course, you know, it started with Sidney Rice. Then, you know, you're looking at quarterback changes. You're looking at Percy Harvin leaving. You have a great season with all day Adrian Peterson, and then he gets injured. You know, I'm thinking that Leslie Frazier didn't get the proper respect that he should have. And, of course, you're looking at a team now that is leaving the old digs in the Minneapolis Metrodome and going into new digs next year. And I thought that Leslie Frazier would at least bring in the year that way. And Minnesota thought otherwise. They wanted to go in another direction.
And Detroit is looking for a new coach as they did not have a good season. They had the division in their sights, but Jim Schwartz was sent packing today as well.
Yeah, and where do you start with that? I mean, you know, Schwartz had, it seems like he has everything in his arsenal as far as offensively is concerned. You know, I know that they have had their problems at the, you know, at the quarterback. We're, you know, still trying to figure out what's going on there. But I know my brother is very excited, and you know, being a Detroit Lions fan, you know, having Schwartz being released, I think not just for him, but all of Detroit and all the Detroit Lions fans, it is a great decision in Detroit. And so I don't know who their next coach is going to be, but it just didn't fit out for Schwartz in Detroit.
So would you want to be an NFL coach right now, the way Black Monday falls and it comes down hard and fast? And like Chudzinski, his players were finding out via text message on the bus ride back from Pittsburgh. And when he gets off the bus at 9:15 last night Eastern time, he's told, see ya, buddy.
You know, that part really disgusts me, though, Sean, because there has to be a certain sense of professionalism, especially at that level, at the professional level. You would think that you wouldn't have text messages and people knowing your business before it actually happened. But, you know, it's an amazing thing. You know, you have a team meeting and you break out and you're thinking that, hey, we're going to see you tomorrow and we're going to start things over and get this thing rolling and be a better team next year. And as soon as you walk out of the locker room, the ownership's waiting for you and they give you the axe. There has to be a better way. There has to be a better way for, you know, for a man to hold his head up high and feel like he's done everything that he possibly can, instead of this knee-jerk kind of reaction that comes from, you know, what I feel, you know, ownership jumping and moving too fast.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, and we've gone through our big-time guest, number one, Ian Furness from Sports Radio KJR, 950 AM in Seattle, and talked about the coaches that got the axe today. When we come back, we're going to get into the playoffs that start this weekend in the NFL. Give us a call, 888-429-5471 to be on the double. We'll be back right after this.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere. You'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Guest number one, Ian Furness, on the show early. We're talking playoff football, NFL style. Sean Wally, first week bye for the Seattle Seahawks. And we've got the games that went on yesterday. We had the Carolina Panthers playing the Atlanta Falcons to lock in the number two seed going into the playoffs. And I talked to you a little bit earlier about the Carolina Panthers. I'm looking at them, and no offense, Seahawks fans, I'm looking at them as being that dark horse favorite in the NFC.
Well, I don't know how you call a number two seed a dark horse, but they are definitely a team that's been on the rise here this season, and their defense is one of the better ones in the entire NFL. And as we start wild card weekend, we start in the AFC on Saturday with the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Indianapolis Colts, a rematch of a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, Alex Smith resting along with Jamal Charles just yesterday. And, man, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, Sean, is going into the playoffs. And, you know, there were teams that made it in, such as the San Diego Chargers that we'll talk about in a second. But it was how they made it in. And, you know, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have to be feeling like, man, what in the world is going on? We always talk about conspiracies. Yesterday just seemed like one of those games to where Kansas City had it won. San Diego has everything to lose, the you know, because they have to win the game to get in the playoffs. Ryan Succop misses a chip shot field goal and keeps the game going into the extended period. And Kansas City goes to lose the game. San Diego wins, wind up going into the playoffs, knocks Pittsburgh out. Has to be devastating for Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, since big-time guests of the show tonight, Ian Furness mentioned conspiracy theories. Here's an interesting note. I'm not claiming conspiracy, but did you hear who the head official was in the San Diego game yesterday that his officiating crew screwed up, which in turn ruined the Steelers' season?
Oh, man. No, I don't. But I'm sure it's that same crew, Sean Wally, that was in the Super Bowl in 2005 that allowed the Steelers to win.
You're feeling me, and you're picking up what I am laying down. Bill Levy and his crew that were from Super Bowl XL, and we know what happened there. And now the Steelers get a little mud.
So I guess not everybody feels the same way as, you know, as some of us, as far as, man, the Steelers got hosed in this one. You're thinking, hey, justice has been served.
Well, actually, what I'm thinking in terms of the Steelers is you shouldn't have gone 0-4.
Well, yeah, that definitely.
You started the season 0-4. If you'd won one of those games and gone 1-3, you'd be in the playoffs.
You know, you're right about that, and I was thinking about that. And, if they didn't go 0-4, you know, starting the season out horrifically, then they wouldn't be in this situation. But when it comes down to that one game, and you know this, that, you know, man, you know, relying on another team isn't good also. And so if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you did your part as far as winning, but relying on that other team to work, to lose never works, and it never works out in your favor. So, yeah, it is a bitter pill to swallow for the Steelers.
Game number two on Saturday is the first NFC clash of the weekend. The New Orleans Saints travel, which is a word they don't like very well, to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles.
Yeah, so this is an intriguing matchup with the, you know, the Saints and the Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, I keep believing and thinking that they're on the verge of just blowing this thing wide open as far as getting the offense clicking. And, you know, Chip Kelly is a mastermind, and we've watched everything that he's done. It goes, you know, documented through at the University of Oregon that team was just phenomenal. And now that he's left, you know, you can still see Oregon doing these great things as far as that high-octane offense. And we've seen it in bits and pieces with Philadelphia, but we haven't really seen it running in a consistent basis. It's just a matter of time. I think that Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints, along with Drew Brees, will have their team ready to play. They know what it feels like to be ousted in the first round. That happened, of course, a few years ago with the Seattle Seahawks, 7-9 going into that playoff. And that's when we first got introduced nationally to Beast Mode and the 12th man on a high level. And so I believe that New Orleans will definitely be ready, but it's going to be a great game, no doubt.
Philadelphia has too many weapons, and the Saints are just Jekyll and Hyde. They cannot play well on the road, and it's almost like they're having the issues Seattle had in the past where they couldn't win on the road, and New Orleans went 3-5 during the regular season, which does not bode well for them going on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, you made an interesting point, but I can't rule out Sean Payton and Drew Brees. You know, these guys are they definitely know what they're doing. I think preparation rise, and, you know, and on defense, you have defense coordinator Rob Ryan. You know, what an added bonus to the team in Rob Ryan. I mean, he's definitely found his way getting ousted out of Dallas, you know, being made the scapegoat for that debacle in Dallas. But, you know, Rob Ryan in New Orleans making it happen. And so, you know, I'm thinking that New Orleans will definitely be ready to play in this first round.
Moving on to Sunday's games, the first tilt is an AFC battle between the San Diego Chargers and the host Cincinnati Bengals.
So Cincinnati, this is the biggest enigma team that, you know, in recent years. I mean, so Cincinnati has always had, you know, the potential. They've always had the talent, just haven't been able to put things together. You know, you look at receiving wise, you know, for Cincinnati, they have such great receivers in Marvin Jones and Giovanni Bernard, A.J. Green. I can't leave out A.J. Green. And then, you know, of course, at quarterback, you know, you've got Andy Dalton that's doing some great things there. But more importantly, one of the things that I was mentioning, you know, talking with my brother and talking with my dad, because, you know, we always have these, you know, these sports type of talks back and forth. I was thinking, man, now is the time for Marvin Lewis to make things happen. You look at somebody that's been in Cincinnati for so long and having a team of mediocrity and below mediocrity and having chance after chance after chance. And we talked about Chesnitzky after 1 year being fired. I mean, there have been a couple of years where Marvin Lewis should have been ousted as the head coach also. And so, you know, man, I don't know what to tell you. Cincinnati, they look like the team, one of the teams to beat in the AFC.
Well, they've scored over 40 points at home the last, I believe, four games in Cincinnati. They have gone undefeated at home as well. So it should be a crazy offensively high-powered matchup on Sunday morning in Cincinnati. And let's head out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Patrick from Tacoma, Washington. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got off work, got me some dinner, and yeah, feeling pretty good.
So Pat, so yeah, so you've been on the show before, and welcome back as a caller. And how are things going with the 1911 track club?
Oh yeah, the 1911 track. Well, currently we're on break right now. We're taking a break. You know, we'll get started again back on the 7th. Really excited about that. The kids are anxious. They can't stand being away from the workouts and stuff like that. So looking forward to getting back in there and just working real hard with the kids. We got a meet coming up in Boise, Idaho, so we're definitely looking forward to that, and it should be fun.
Well, man, well, it sounds like you have your work cut out for you there, and so, what brings you on the show today?
Oh, well, you know, since the playoffs are done, and, you know, I'd like to voice my frustrations, because the last time when I talked to you guys, we did have this thing where the Detroit Lions, you know, I'm a Detroit Lions / Seattle Seahawks fan. So, you know, the Detroit Lions were making their progress out that way. But obviously, as you guys can tell, they're not in the playoffs. So we fired Jim Schwartz. Woo-hoo! No disrespect for him not having a job, but he didn't get the job done. And the onus falls on him first. It starts from the top. So I'm feeling very semi-sad, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy because, you know, there's so much opportunities out there. Coaches getting fired left and right, but there's opportunities always knocking at your door. I'm talking about Tom Cable. I'm talking about John Gruden. Hey, let's go up to Seattle and break up some of that Legion of Boom and get some of those guys, Bill Bevel and those guys out here. And let's hire a coach. Hey, Lovie Smith is available as well. So I'm feeling good because I know what Detroit can do.
Wow. So you're a Detroit Lions, Seattle Seahawks fan, but you want to go into Seattle and break up some of the continuity to go to Detroit. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, that's pretty much the connection. I mean, if you look at Detroit's roster, half of their, about 40% of their roster comes from Seattle, you know, so that's not an issue at all. That's not an issue at all. And we could take Nate Burleson and Rob Sims, and if we could take those guys, we could take a few others. So I'm not worried about that, but I am excited. It is the playoffs. The Seahawks are, once again, you know, one of the favorite teams that I like as well. So they're in it as well, and I'm excited for Percy Harvin to come back. I knew that was the plan from the beginning to save him and get him ready for the playoffs, as well as everybody probably, you know, assuming that these guys don't have the offensive power to make it happen. But it's a different story now that the playoffs are here. And they've been there before, and Percy's just going to add an extra fuel to the fire, so I'm excited about it.
So no, make no bones about it. You believe that this is Seattle's year. They are definitely going to win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've been there before. In Russ, we trust. That is the solution for this year, 2013, heading into 2014. This is the team that's going to get the job done officially, and it's time. It's time.
So we're talking to Patrick from Tacoma, Washington, kind enough to call in on the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Patrick, which of the NFC teams – is there one you hope comes to Seattle, and is there one that you hope maybe doesn't and they get eliminated this next weekend?
Well, the one that I truly hope that can come to Seattle, I would like Philadelphia, definitely New Orleans, because we already capped them before, and we could cap them again. Drew Brees was kind of scared. If you saw his interview after the game, he was kind of scared just to admit that the road to the Super Bowl might have to come through Seattle. So I like the fear in his eyes, and I like those odds. But what I don't like, what I am scared about, now it might sound crazy, I know a lot of people, I heard a little bit of you guys talking about Carolina. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, a scary team that we could face. But let's worry about that bad man in Aaron Rodgers, because I'm telling you, that guy, for him to come back, get those guys motivated and to win that game, to clinch the playoffs, they can go on a run just as well as Seattle did when they had that 7-9 record, and you saw the beast quake and what they did to New Orleans, and then all of a sudden they made a run, and even though they lost in the NFC Championship, they still, you know, can get hot. And Aaron Rodgers, who's been there before, I'm scared of that. I am really scared of that.
Pat, I would agree. The Green Bay Packers are the one team that I am a little bit apprehensive on just because of Aaron Rodgers, because he's the greatest quarterback in the league, and he's been resting for nearly 2 months, and you've got a Randall Cobb back at wide receiver, and he's got a lot of weapons. Granted, you still have the 12th man. You still have Seattle's great defense and Russell Wilson and his smarts, but that's the one matchup that kind of gives me a little bit of nervousness there.
Oh, yeah, nervousness indeed. And like I said, with his experience already being there at the Super Bowl, and he's just so poised. I mean, if you saw the game yesterday, he was just so poised, even being off for 2 months? I mean, to come back and to look like he's never lost a step, that's scary. And to get rolling right now in the playoffs, it only takes a couple of games. And if they get some serious momentum going down there against San Francisco, which I think they have the advantage because it's at home, it's in the frozen tundra, and I think Colin Kaepernick is going to really have some problems down there. Yeah, it could get scary if they come up to the Northwest. So hopefully we can get that taken care of and, you know, put a stop to that. But that's my only concern. I'm not really too concerned about Philly, New Orleans, or Carolina, even though we took care of those teams earlier in the season. I just don't see Cam Newton just stepping his game up on that next level against the Legion of Boom. I just don't see it. Philadelphia, you know, I just don't see that either with Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson. We can easily lock up on those guys and then key in on Shady McCoy with our front seven. So that doesn't scare me at all with Philadelphia. Even though Chip Kelly's done a great job, I don't see the matchup being a threat. But Green Bay, I am, holy smokes, scared of Green Bay right now.
You know, Pat, if it does end up being Carolina coming to Seattle for the NFC Championship game, that would not only be a rematch of the NFC title game, the 2005 season played in early 2006, but also one that my co-host Sean Boyd worked for Fox NFL Sunday there in Seattle.
We
would like to face them again at all costs. So, you know, Jonathan Stewart can come back and have another homecoming, but we can send him up the road instead of sending him all the way back to Carolina because he's from Olympia, so he just can travel to I-5 down south to the 360 and make a pit stop with mom and dad and enjoy the rest of the playoffs while Seattle goes to the Super Bowl. So I'd like that to happen if Carolina is to make it to the 12th man.
Man, I tell you, those were fun times, Sean Wally. You know, that game, being at that game, there was a high energy level at was then Quest Field, and man, Carolina did not have a chance coming in there. I believe Jake DeLome was quarterback, and of course Steve Smith was playing at the time, and man, they just couldn't handle the 12th man. And, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, Sean Alexander had a huge game. Matt Hasselbeck also, you know, was precision. And so, yeah, I do remember that game with fond memories.
Guys, let's do this real quick before we close the final show of the year. We've got a caller on the line on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. That's Patrick from Tacoma, Washington. And let's each predict the games and see who might be most correct when we come back next year, next Monday. We'll start with Patrick in Tacoma. The first game this weekend, Kansas City at Indianapolis. Who do you like there?
I like the way Kansas City has disguised that beautiful record that they possess this year, looking like a dominant team that could possibly make a run for the Super Bowl, but Andrew Luck has got a little bit more experience under his belt, and I do believe that they can get the job done with their running back, their running game, and as well as their receivers with T.Y. Hilton emerging through this season and becoming one of the elite names for that team. I see Indianapolis winning this at home. The score, easily 30-24.
Sean Boyd, your thoughts?
Man, that's a high-scoring game, 30-24. I'm thinking that it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive battle. Of course, when the playoffs start, you know, teams are really, you know, focused on not making mistakes. And, you know, I believe that the offenses will come out a little bit timid. And in that case, if that is the case, I have to point that in favor of Alex Smith. You're looking at somebody who does not want to make mistakes. We know him as the game manager. I'm, you know, picking Kansas City to go into Indianapolis and winning this game, score 17-14.
Sean Boyd going with the upset in Indianapolis, and I will also jump on the curtails of Sean Boyd and take the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? Because you've got Alex Smith, who's been there, done that. Andrew Luck, not so much. And then at running back, Jamaal Charles is going to be the difference in that game. Kansas City wins. And the afternoon game on Saturday, Patrick, you're back up. Do you like the Saints or the Eagles?
This is the head scratcher, because once again, we're talking about Chip Kelly. He's done a great job with that team. He's got the offense moving. Shady McCoy has played like he belongs in the MVP candidate race right now. But there's a chip on the shoulder with Drew Brees and his crew, and they've been here before, and they're going to get the job done. Obviously, they're going to have to do it on the road, but to go out there in Philly, I think because of what they went through against Seattle in the Northwest, they've got a chip on their shoulder, and this is a great pre-rehearsal that they can use against Philly if they're going to go up to Seattle to try to give them a chance up there against the Seahawks. But I predict this score with Drew Brees and that high-scoring offense. Once again, we're in a high-scoring offense, but this time it's going to be 28-14. It's not going to be that much of a high-scoring offense, just due to the fact that I think New Orleans is going to capitalize, surprisingly, with their defense. We know what their offense can do, but surprisingly, their defense will step up to the challenge, and they're going to be able to hold Philadelphia to a lower-scoring game.
Interesting selection there by Patrick in Tacoma.
Very.
Sean Boyd, New Orleans at Philadelphia.
Man, you know, I've always had a fondness and a likeness for the New Orleans Saints. As I mentioned earlier, I believe Sean Payton definitely prepares his teams. And, of course, you can't count out Drew Brees. He's not quite there in the Aaron Rodgers category, but he's one of those guys that could definitely pull out a win for you, and he could single-handedly get the W for the team. I just don't think that they have enough, meaning the New Orleans Saints, to get by what I believe, again, is a high-octane offense in the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's destined to happen. We haven't really seen it. We saw it in week one against the Washington Redskins, and let's face it, the Washington Redskins aren't the Washington Redskins who we thought they were, but I believe that this offense is ready to go. You're talking about, Riley Cooper, who has come into his own, and we all know everything that happened in the offseason. And for that team to come back from this type of adversity, Jason Avant is another wide receiver, along with DeSean Jackson. Patrick, you mentioned Shady McCoy. And we can't leave out Nick Foles. You know, anybody who's capable of throwing 7 touchdowns in a game, and I know that was against the beleaguered Oakland Raiders team. But with all that being said, I just believe that the Philadelphia Eagles have so much offense that New Orleans can't keep up with it. So I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles in this one, and it's going to be 28-23.
And I mentioned earlier that the Saints are Jekyll and Hyde. When they're at the Superdome, they're great. When they're on the road, not so much. 3-5 in the regular season, and that trend continues. The Eagles, as you mentioned, Sean, too much firepower, and being at home helps, and who knows what the weather will be like. It might be snowing. It's going to be late Saturday evening in Philadelphia. All signs point to the Eagles moving on. And as we move on to Sunday of Wild Card Weekend, Patrick, we've got the Chargers at the Bengals. Who do you like there?
This is the one that I've been waiting to predict. Now, we just saw the game yesterday and what happened. And you know good and well, when you let teams hang around or you give them an opportunity, bad things can happen. And I think for what Kansas City allowed San Diego to do just to get into the playoffs, oh, boy, that was a big mistake. Cincinnati does not want to see a fired up, rejuvenated San Diego Chargers team who believes that they are that legit and could possibly ride that momentum and make an upset in week number one. Phillip Rivers, I see him going in there. I see the score being 23 to 10. They're going to get by Cincinnati, put Cincinnati back at home again, and they're going to go and try to give Denver another shot when they go into the AFC divisional playoffs.
This one is peculiar, and I talked about this one earlier. And, you know, I believe that, you know, that Marvin Lewis, again, you know, out of all of his mediocrity and everything, you know, that he's had as far as his teams over the past 10 years in Cincinnati, it's amazing that, gosh, thinking that he's been around for that long in Cincinnati. I just see that the Bengals will have so much behind them as far as, you know, just proving a lot of the naysayers and a lot of the prognosticators wrong. That, you know, we all know what the San Diego Chargers, every year the San Diego Chargers are a team that we look at as being one of the tops in the NFL. And for me, I look at the San Diego Chargers no different than I look at the Dallas Cowboys. And what I mean by that is, you know, Dallas will always find a way. And we've heard this before. They'll always find a way to let you down. And year after year after year, we hear about the San Diego Chargers and their high-powered offense and all of the players that they have on defense and how they should take over the, you know, they should be tops of the AFC. And year in and year out, just like Tony Romo in Dallas, Phillip Rivers never lets us down as far as disappointment. And this game, I believe, this Sunday will be no different. The Cincinnati Bengals will go out and they will take care of business, and they will feed with the home crowd, and they should win this one 21-10.
Well, I don't know what Patrick in Tacoma might be sipping on up there, but that's a very interesting prognostication he's trying to go with there. Which, hey, anything could happen on any given Saturday in this, well, it is Sunday morning in this case for this game. But, man, I don't even think the Chargers really even belong. And that just goes to show you how the officiating affected that game big time. And if you look at the Bengals, their last playoff win was in the 1990 season. And guess what, guys? Every other NFL team has won at least one playoff game since then. And the Bengals have something to prove. Marvin Lewis has something to prove that he belongs there even longer term. And the coaches believe so much in Andy Dalton. They want him to show the rest of the world what they already know, that he is a fabulous quarterback and he needs to be among one of those top 12, top 10 quarterbacks in that conversation. And this is definitely the game he does that. They also have a lot of weapons on offense with A.J. Green and two great running backs, the two-headed monster, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Gio Bernard. And by the Bengals being eliminated, or I'm sorry, the Bengals eliminating the Ravens this past weekend, this was the, I'm sorry, where did it go? The 15th Super Bowl champion that failed to reach the playoffs the next year. And get this, guys, sixth time in the last 12 years.
Yeah, you know, I don't take anything away from the San Diego Chargers. I believe that, you know, if you make it in, you make it in. I'm just going off of what I know and what I see. And, in you know, San Diego, year in and year out, is a team to beat. And for whatever reason, you can say, hey, they get out to a slow start. Why do you get out to a slow start? You have to ask yourself as a team year after year, why do you get out to a slow start? Why do you have to catch up, you know, to make it into the postseason? And why can't you put the full product on the field? And every time I take a look at the grand scheme of things with the San Diego Chargers, it all revolves around the quarterback. And Phillip Rivers, again, you know, this guy will get you excited. He will get you thinking that, man, this is we're finally turning the corner. And just like the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo, they will let you down. And, you know, for for the Kansas City Chiefs, that game for the San Diego Chargers to make it into the playoffs. So Ryan Succop misses the field goal. And so what we find out, and I found this out earlier today on watching sports, that there were seven men lined up on the left-hand side of the field goal. You can't have seven men lined up to one side of the football. There should have been a penalty. The NFL officials ruled and said that this was wrong on the officials' crew, and they should have thrown the flag, and Ryan Succop should have gotten an extra game, even though he should have made the first kick. And there was a fumble, a true fumble, when San Diego was running for the trying to get a first down. Forward progress was still being made. Kansas City takes the ball and runs it into the end zone, and the officials called it dead. And so you look at these, all of these things put into place. Granted, and you take the fact that Kansas City didn't play any of their key players, that San Diego really got a gift in getting into these playoffs. And, you know, we'll see. But I believe that the Cincinnati Bengals take care of business easily this Sunday.
Well, Patrick, we don't want to keep you too much longer. Appreciate you hanging on, but we got one more game to get your thoughts on. The San Francisco 49ers visit the frozen tundra of Green Bay to wrap up Wild Card Weekend.
This is the game that everybody is going to be tuned into. It's the miniature Super Bowl, because once again, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, that guy that I'm very scared of, and it's in the frozen tundra. And so with that happening, I don't see too much happening for San Francisco as far as being explosive, as well as with Frank Gore and his running, the abuse that he's been taking this whole year. I don't see him really getting off. So Colin Kaepernick's really going to have to play an A-plus performance against the Green Bay Packers and in the frozen tundra. So what I'm looking at right now with Aaron Rodgers being back and, you know, the team starting to gel, get back on the roll right in time for the playoffs, I see the score being 21 to 14, excuse me. Simple, three touchdowns to two, no special field goals will be needed. It's going to be strategically moving the ball down in possession and trying to get into the end zone. I don't see the special teams being any part of this in this game. I think it's going to be all based upon the two quarterbacks. And with that being said, I see a 21-14 game, Green Bay.
Yeah, so 21-14, Green Bay. You know, living down here in Northern California, and understanding the heated rival between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers, I could see why Patrick would say that the Green Bay Packers will take care of business. I too believe that Aaron Rodgers is a bad man, and he proved that yesterday. But I also believe that the San Francisco 49ers actually have a huge, huge chip on their shoulder and are looking up at the Seattle Seahawks week in and week out, and that really irks them to death. And so, you know, they understand what they have to do as far as the team is concerned. And when you take a look at the San Francisco 49ers and what they have, not just on the offensive side, but on the defensive side, you know, I believe that the San Francisco 49ers are equipped to play in this cold weather. I believe that they can go into Lambeau Field, which is supposed to be about 10 degrees on Sunday, and they can take care of business. You've got Patrick Willis and, of course, Navarro Bowman, who actually saved the season along with Ahmad Brooks. That linebacker crew alone is going to be the staple for the San Francisco 49ers, and not to mention everything on the offensive side. I see Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers going into Lambeau Field and winning this one 17-14, another 17-14 pick for me. And then they get out of this first round looking forward to their next opponent.
I think Patrick slipped you some of the happy juice, because, goodness, Colin Kaepernick in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers taking him out. I don't agree with that. Too many, you know, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a hard-fought war. It's probably going to come down to the final 2-3 minutes, as most of these playoff games tend to do. But in the end, Aaron Rodgers is just the better commander, the better leader. He doesn't get rattled. And I think Kaepernick will at some point when the pressure is too much, and therefore the Green Bay Packers will move on and the frozen tundra faithful will be happy.
Well, you know, that's, you know, this is one of the more intriguing games of first round games. Of course, San Francisco being a number 5 seed and, you know, could very, very well be the number 2 seed in the NFC. You know, I think that you're underestimating what San Francisco can actually do. I do believe in Aaron Rodgers again, but when you look at the grand scheme of things as a totality of a football team, the San Francisco 49ers hands down come back and come in more prepared, even though the weather doesn't dictate that. And even though it's going to be 10 degrees, it's supposed to be sunny and clear. So when these guys get the juices flowing and they're hyped up and ready to go, they hardly feel that cold. The only people that feel that cold are the people in the stands. So, you know, I do think that San Francisco has a better edge than most think.
All right. Well, Patrick from Tacoma, we appreciate your time and your insight tonight. Thanks for calling in on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines, and have yourself a safe and happy new year.
Yes, I appreciate it. And next week, I will call back. I will make sure that we are completely accurate and that I have some of that special juice for you guys, because I do believe those scores that I picked, especially that San Diego game, guys. Make sure Phillip Rivers, you don't want to let a sly cat up in there, because things can get real dicey. Just remember, the 7-9 Seahawks weren't supposed to be there, and they made noise against New Orleans with the Beastquake. So anything can happen, and I'm glad to be a part of this show, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week.
So that is Patrick. Thanks for being on the double with the Double S Express. And, so Pat says that he's going to call in and make sure that everything is accurate. And so I believe that, you know, we had three different opinions there, and for the most part, you know, we all had different different outlooks on half of the games.
Well, we've got it on record now. We can definitely go back to the archive here at BBS Radio on our show page, bbsradio.com/DSX. It'll be available on demand at iTunes and also at Stitcher Radio. So we'll be able to take a look back and see if either of this trio was more correct.
Yeah, and so I look forward to that. And, you know, these are always the fun times, getting a chance to make predictions. And so, you know, I know for a couple of the games, you know, we're on two sides of the pendulum, but that's what makes, you know, prognosticating. And so, I believe that I actually will be a little bit more accurate. The game breaker will be that San Francisco Green Bay game.
Well, Sean, 2013 just about in the books, on the calendar, and for On the Double with the Double S Express, as show 33 about to be wrapped up. Your thoughts on 33 shows and getting this show going here in 2013?
Man, well, I mean, 2013 has brought a lot of great things for us, Sean. While, of course, getting the chance to, you know, air our sports show On the Double with the Double S Express, giving us a chance to, you know, allow listeners to call in and having great guests on. And, you know, there's a tremendous upside ahead of us. And so for 2013, what it means to me is it means a foundation set, not just for, you know, our show, but, you know, all new beginnings and all things, you know, moving forward. And, you know, it always gives you a chance this time of the year to reflect on family and friends. And, you know, of course, John, I have my brother and his family down, and I've just had such a treat with them. And of course, you know, my son's come back into town, and you know, it's just been such a great joy. And so, you know, with those things being said, you know, I am a truly blessed man to be in this position, to be on the air with you, to be on the air and just sharing a lot of the good things that we love to do, man.
And yeah, it's been great starting with, you know, a tiny little snowball and getting it rolling with this show. And we've both put in a lot of work and had to get over some hurdles to not only get this show going for 33 shows now, but to learn along the way and get over some hurdles and, you know, book our big time guests and the help we've received from Don and Doug at the station. And, you know, we've all pitched in and hopefully it's getting better every week.
Yeah, it's not, because it's not easy. It's not easy for everybody that, you know, that has to prepare for it. And, you know, I have to give a shout out to my lovely wife who actually puts up and actually believes in this, you know, because, you know, it's very important. And so, you know, I think that, you know, moving forward, we're going to do some awesome things. And, you know, our guests just keep rolling in. And, you know, God willing, and talking with Don and Doug, we can start to expand the hour to 2 hours and then move on to a couple more days. And that's what we're looking for going forward in 2014.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express as we wrap up show 33, the final show here in 2013. So everybody, definitely come back next week when it will be a new year. 2014's upon us. Be safe. Have a very happy new year. Thanks for listening.
Happy new year.
And come on back every Monday night, 7 p.m. And definitely on demand 24/7 whenever you want to hear On the Double with the Double S Express.